Well, I am glad to be back with you today. I survived a week of camp. Somehow they survived as well. It was a good week. I direct junior camp, which is kids going into fifth and sixth grade, like Zoe and Kaylee and Charlie. We actually had five kids from Merriam Christian Church at that camp this week. Over the course of the summer, we sent 12 kids to camp, which is amazing. It was a pretty good week overall. We only injured a couple of them. First day, we'd been there about 4 hours. We're walking to the pool, and a young man fell off one of the sidewalks and broke his wrist. Next day, one of them slipped in some gravel and put 5 stitches in his knee. The third day, we made it all the way to worship, and when they asked for prayers at worship, one of the counselors said, "We haven't hurt anybody today." It was a good prayer. But it was a really good week. You know, part of church camp, every day the kids go to small group. And small group is where we break them up into groups of about 10 or 11 kids. And they've got a couple counselors with them. And they do the lesson for the day. They look at the scripture for that day. We have morning devotions. We have small group time. We have worship at night. All throughout the day, we use the same scripture. We use the same theme, the same lesson to try and reinforce that. So small group is where they really get the bulk of it. They read the scripture together, they have activities that they do, games that they play that kind of reinforce and support that scripture, and teach them the story. This week, our curriculum was centered on God. Each year, we kind of have a different overall theme. 1 year, it's God, the next year, it's Jesus, then Holy Spirit, then church. Then we go back to God again, because, you know, at least once every 4 years, you should think about God, so... So this week was about God, and our first lesson the first day was how God is big enough to love all of us. The lesson on the last day was how with God we can change the world. That was a fun day. They focused on Micah 6:8 that day. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. We've certainly heard that one before. But my favorite lesson for the week was the one we did on the second day. On the second day, the lesson was, with God, there is more than enough. Now, as the director of the camp, I get to pick which lessons we do. We buy a curriculum for all of our camps that has 7 days worth of lessons. I don't have a 7-day camp. I have a 4-day camp. So I get to cherry pick the lessons I like the most and use those. So I got to pick each lesson. The first one I picked was with God, there is more than enough. Because that is a vitally important message to get across to our kids. With God, there is more than enough. That is a lesson that many, if not most adults, struggle with. With God, there's more than enough. We live in a world that preaches the exact opposite of that. The world wants you to fear scarcity. The world wants you to fear being without. The world wants you to fear not having enough. The world wants you to believe that in order to survive in this world, you have to be greedy and self-centered and selfish, or you won't get yours. The world wants you to panic that you'll miss out, that you'll get shorted, and to do whatever it takes to make sure you don't. Work yourself silly. Choose the pursuit of money over the pursuit of relationship, over the pursuit of God. We look out at this world, and the images we see are starvation and poverty and neglect, and we say, "Not me." It's a worldview that teaches us to be scared, to live in fear, to worry and fret that there is not enough to go around. But God says differently. In the 16th chapter of Exodus, the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. The Israelites are worried. They look around on this journey they're on. They don't see crops to harvest. They don't see livestock to tend. They are in a harsh wilderness trying to survive, and they don't see where their next meal is going to come from. Even though God is the one that called them out to this place, that led them here, that is walking with them. So they complain. Surely we can relate to that. They complain. If only we were back in slavery. Remember how good we had it when we had next to nothing? Because that is so much better than actually having nothing. Oh, remember those halcyon days of slavery when we were beaten and killed and starved. Oh, those were the days. When I was growing up, I liked food. Whenever I would go to a birthday party or a youth group event, we were going to have pizza. They'd get the pizzas out. And in my head, quietly, I would count how many people were there and how many pieces of pizza there were. And I would do that little bit of division in my head that would say, I can have 2 pieces of pizza. That doesn't seem like very much. Maybe I want 3. Right? That would cause a little worry. That would cause a little fear to crop up. There was always enough. There was always more than enough. But it didn't stop that fear from creeping in. That's what's happening to the Israelites. The Israelites look around and they say, I'm hungry and I don't see enough food for everybody. I'm afraid I'm going to have to go without. Will there be enough for me? God hears the Israelites' complaints. God hears their moaning and their worry and their fear, and God responds. And in this time of perceived scarcity, this time of little faith and much fear, how does God respond? With condemnation and punishment? With abandonment and retribution? No. Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. Not just a little bit of bread, not just enough to get by, not just enough to survive on. I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. God is not a God of scarcity. God is not a God of little. God is not a God of rationing. God is a God of abundance. God is a God of much. God is a God of blessings. I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. You will have more than you can imagine, more than you could possibly eat, more than you can carry. But, there's always a but. But, God needs the people to have faith in God. God needs the people to have hope in God's provision. God needs the people to believe that God is with them every day from morning to night, that God will take care of them. So all this bread you see each morning, more than you could ever need, more than you could ever carry, each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them whether they will follow my instructions or not. Each day, the people will go out and gather enough bread for that day. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. The Israelites are scared, and in their fear, God knows they're going to hoard what they find. They're going to steal. They're going to try to take more than they will ever need so that they can think they're in control of their fear. They can say, well, now I have enough that I don't need to be afraid because I have gathered more than I could ever eat. I've gathered so much, it's going to go stale. It's going to get worms in it. It's going to go moldy. I've grabbed armfuls of bread to make sure my needs are taken care of. But that is not the relationship God wants to have with God's people. God does not want us to hoard and to gather so much that we feel like we can defeat our fears. God wants to defeat our fears. God wants to provide. God wants to fulfill. God wants to take care of God's people. So they have to trust. They have to trust that just like there was bread for today, God's going to come back and there's going to be bread tomorrow. And the next day, and the day after that. Give us, O Lord, our daily bread, not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, not our quarterly bread. This provision's a reminder that God is with me every day, watching over me, providing for me. Give us our daily bread. God is with me today, and God will be with me tomorrow, and God will be with me that next day, and God will be with me the day after that. But how many of us live with that hope etched on our hearts? With that belief that God provided today and God will take care of tomorrow? With that faith, the bread I had today to sustain me will return in the morning. This is about who we are called to be. We are called to be a people of faith, a people of hope, a people of God's assurance that God provides our daily bread. We are the ones who recite that Lord's Prayer each week, who say it together in one voice, who lift it up to heaven as though it were true. Give us this day our daily bread. The people who believe in a God of abundance, a God of plenty, a people who gather our daily bread in today and trust that God will be there with the daily bread tomorrow, a people that come to the table each time we worship so we can break the bread and we can remember that God provides our daily bread. We are not called to be a people of scarcity, a people of worry, a people of fear. We cannot claim those struggles and still profess faith in God, because God is the God of the daily bread, the God of more than enough. How do we know this? The planet that we are on, all 7 billion of us, the planet that we are on produces far more food than we could ever eat. And yet, there are people who go to bed hungry. There are people who have nothing. But that is not because God has not provided. When we look out and we see that need out there, it has nothing to do with God's provision. God provided us with a planet that produces more food than we could ever need, more than enough. It is our own greed and selfishness, our own socioeconomic structures and political machinations that create need and hunger. God provides the daily bread. But even that was not enough eventually. God realized we needed something more. The 6th chapter of John, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. The bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." God tried to take care of our physical needs in the hope that this act would strengthen our spirits, that by giving us our daily bread, we would have faith and hope and peace, that we would go into each day knowing God is with me and God is providing. But it wasn't enough, because our human structures created need and created hunger, and we were going without, and we were losing sight of God providing our daily bread. God had to provide something more. We needed the bread of life. If God is willing to provide our daily bread in abundance without fail, then how much more will God provide our living bread? The bread of life, salvation, grace, that we need to truly live without fear. Jesus is our grace, our salvation, our righteousness, how we are made right. And God provides that in abundance. There is more than enough. Grace is eternal and abundant. Hope is eternal and abundant. Courage is eternal and abundant. We simply have to accept it. You know, the Israelites in the desert, they didn't have to take that daily bread that God provided. They could have gone off and searched for food on their own. They could have tried to grow something on their own or stolen something from neighboring peoples. But when God provided the food, they accepted it. God has given this to us, and they took it. They faithfully went out each day and collected enough for that day, knowing that God would return tomorrow with that day's daily bread. We go out into the day, and God has provided more than enough grace, more than enough hope, more than enough peace for you, for me, for us, for them. There is more than enough. But we have to live like a people that believe that. We have to live like a people who trust that. Then the Jews began to complain, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" These two scriptures we had today are linked in a couple ways. Obviously, they both talk about bread. They talk about bread coming down from heaven. But they also both feature groups of people who, when they see what God has provided, their first response is to complain. "Well, yeah, God provided the bread today, but who knows what tomorrow will bring? Well, yeah, God gave me grace today, but what if I screw up even worse tomorrow?" How can there possibly be enough? It is a daily struggle to believe that there is more than enough. It is a daily struggle to believe that God provides our daily bread, that God provides our eternal bread. The world is screaming a counter message at us in sound and images that says, "Be afraid, there is not enough." And it is easy to forget. It is easy to become scared. It is easy to live in fear. But we are not called to be a people of fear. We are not called to be a people of scarcity. We are not called to be a people of hopelessness. We are a people that know, that believe, that trust that God will give us this day, not just our daily bread, but the bread of life itself. And we know that God will provide it tomorrow as well. And we must live like we are that people. Amen.